to this week's episode of Never Thought I'd Say This. I'm your host, Jody Sweeten, joined by one of the best halves in my life.
Aw, Celia Behar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, although I feel like if it's a half, there's really only one other half.
Right.
So I feel like maybe it's like a quarter.
I'm like the training wheel that's going to come off at some point.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You're like, that sort of sometimes touches the ground, right. But it's like not really doing that much.
Yeah, yeah.
But
it's
like
a little squeaky.
But it's really more of a security blanket.
Exactly.
That's what it is.
Right,
okay,
right.
Got it. Because
yeah.
I know I'm not going to fall because I've got a training wheel. You're the training wheel of my life, Celia. I don't know what that means.
I don't know what that means, but it makes me happy. So I don't really fucking care.
There you go.
And for
those of you who don't know, today's episode and the one we did previously, we're doing two episodes today. It's the first time we've all been in the same room recording a podcast in over a month. And I apparently have forgotten how we do all of it.
Like everything.
No, like I was like, wait, do we usually record it this way? Does this usually happen? What's happening?
I was like, why are you turning that around? You were like, I can't get a shot this way. I was like, we don't ever do it that way.
I'm so confused.
I know you are.
But that's okay. I'm here with my training wheel and it's going to be okay.
It's all going to be good. And we have such a good topic today.
Oh my God. It's such a great topic.
Also, I have a never thought I'd that goes right along with it because of our topic.
Okay. Well, let's tell people what our topic
is. Our topic is Turning Red.
Yes. The Pixar film.
Pixar movie.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So I'm 40 minutes into the movie. I have been, you know, obviously traveling and doing all this stuff. So I haven't watched the complete thing, but I'm planning on it this afternoon because
it's
I'm
so
40
good.
Minutes in. It's amazing.
Yep.
I love it. It has made me laugh. There's so many moments I relate to the daughter. There's so many moments I relate to the mom.
Yep.
Yeah, all of it.
We'll go all the way into it. But the movie, you know, if you haven't watched it, please watch it. For some crazy reason, it has, you know, struck up some controversy,
right.
Which we'll talk about. I watched it with my girls a couple weeks back. And the next day, it was a Sunday. And the next day, I drove them to school. And I texted you guys after and said, holy God, you guys, I have a story for you about Turning Red.
Yes.
Because it's a good conversation starter with your kids.
Right.
About a lot of things, mostly puberty.
Right.
So I have a never thought I'd. Would you like to hear it right off the bat?
I would love to.
Lulu,
mm-hmm.
Please don't say they were jerking off in your class ever again. That's not what you mean.
Like they were like screwing around?
This is what happened. We were
Not like screwing around. Okay.
What happened. We're in the car driving to school. Harper's in the front seat with me. Lulu's in the back. We start talking about the movie, Turning Red, you know. And Lulu said, like, why were people upset? And I said, well, you know, people have a tough time with puberty. And also, like, I don't know. You know, like, it's dumb. So whatever. Because I said, you know, periods and boobies, people have a hard time about. I said, meanwhile, in my yoga class yesterday, I made a joke about the fact that somebody was wearing all white. I said, just looking at your outfit makes me think I'm going to get my period right now.
Like, right.
You know, who the fuck can wear white pants ever? And so Lulu was like, yeah, right. White pants, check. Okay, so because she's obviously not getting her period yet. She's 10. But she's like kind of at that point.
Right, where it's like, it's what is happening.
Right,
that, I remember I had that book. What is happening to my body? Or
right,
something
whatever.
Like that.
Right. Yeah, holy fuck. No, that's not what the book's called. But she's sort of in that. And, you know, Turning Red is talking about like different things happening to us.
Right.
So all of a sudden she's like, so Harper, like when we do the puberty, like, you know, thing in school, like the, we watch the movie.
Right.
She was like, what do I have to prepare for? And Harper was like, oh, it's really stupid and blah, blah. And she's like, and Lulu goes, I don't know. I don't want to watch that movie with like boys in my class. And Harper goes, you don't. Like
the
girls watch one. Right. Boys watch something else about like wearing deodorant. And the girls, no joke, that's what it is. And the girls watch one that has to do with, you know, periods and sex and all that stuff. And Lulu goes, oh my gosh, thank God. Because like, I just know that if we were watching that one, there would be, you know, like two boys in the back of my class just jerking off through the whole movie. And I... And I just went, and Harper like looks at me and I just went, like my hands came off the steering wheel and I just went, what did you just say? And she was like, you know, jerking off. I go, whoa, just stop saying that. Stop saying that right now. It doesn't mean what you think. Tell me what you think that means. And she's like, you know, like, hey, yo, I'm just like, you know, boobies, periods.
Like being a jerk.
And I go, goofing off? Isn't it the same thing? I go, no. It is absolutely not the same thing. Please don't say that again.
To her credit, either one may be possible.
Well, Sure.
I'm just going to say.
No, absolutely. That's why I was like, oh, crap. So then I go, nobody
wants to watch the period movie with a couple guys
jerking off. That's a fetish that I'm not sure those kids are going to have yet.
Oh, God.
Meanwhile, Harper like keeps about saying something. And I go, I'm like, no, stop. Don't say anything. Because I know she wants to like go down some, you know. And then all of a sudden Lulu goes, so wait, what does jerking off mean then? And Harper just looks at me and she's like, Mom. And I go,
masturbation.
Well, I didn't. Yes, that would have been a great thing to say, Jody. Why weren't you in my fucking car? No.
I don't know. Why wasn't that the first thing that came to your mind? Because that's what it is. It's a boy masturbating. No. Big fucking deal. No.
What I said was, Lulu, remember how you used to say you get the jizz of it? And I had to explain to you what jizz is? And she goes, yeah. And I go, that's what happens when you jerk off.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. So that was a parenting fail. Never thought I'd say this what the fuck moment all wrapped into
Harper
one.
Just goes, I couldn't say what I was going to say, but you can say that, Mom. And Harper is like hysterically laughing. Like she was like, I'm going to pee in my pants.
Oh, my God.
I'm gonna pee in my pants. And I was like, I don't know why I said
you're like, it was the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man moment of puberty descriptions.
Just
you're like,
came
it was just
out.
The first thing that came to my head.
And then later on that night, she comes back. And of course, Harper has to bring it back, you know, at dinner, like says something.
Right.
And I'm like, knock it off. I had made ribs that night. Harper was like, they're kind of salty. And I go, yeah, you know, the salt was actually more. I picked up the rig. I actually had to like dust it off. And I almost did the wrong movement. But instead, I like picked it up like I was holding a dirty pair of underpants or whatever, my rib. And I just sort of like brushed it off on each side. Lulu, right away, she's like, oh, so you're to like, you know, pick it up and go, whoop, whoop. And Harper, she's like, that's the jerking off thing. That's the jerking off thing. I was like, everybody stop fucking talking. Like,
it's a rib. Oh, my God, it's
just
a rib.
I don't understand. And please stop it. And Harper was like, well, you wanted us to talk about, you know, turning red and like puberty. I was like, that's not what this is about. Like, this is not where we're at, you guys.
Well,
like,
but this is, to be fair, you sort of took it in that direction.
I know. It was my fault.
It could have been a fairly, like, 2 or 3 word explanation. But
I know.
Instead, you brought it back to previous episode of
You Get the Gist of It. I know. It just popped out of my mouth.
Oh, there's so many jokes there, but I'm not going to say it.
I know. That's what she said. Anyhow. So that was my experience with Turning Red. To be fair, they both loved the movie, including Harper, who was, you know, 15. I was like, she can be like, this is stupid. But it was great because it's so much about mothers and daughters.
Yeah.
We'll talk about the controversy of it. But
yes, I'm so glad that's how you explained it.
Yeah. Yeah, there was more controversy in my car than there was over this movie, probably.
Fan-fucking-tastic. Uh-huh. All right, well, we're going to head to break. And
we're not going to jerk off over it.
Oh, my God. No, we're not. We're not. We might goof off, but no one is jerking off on this podcast.
On the podcast.
Oh my God. I can't believe you said that. God help us. Okay, we're going to break before things really go fucking sideways. And we'll be back once we've collected ourselves. We'll be back. They say beauty is in the eye of the beholder, but if you can't see anything, there's really not much to behold. So thankfully, there's Felix Gray glasses, which will help you see clearly.
You know, I started sporting my blue glasses back in about first grade, but this is my first pair of Felix Gray best-in-class blue light lenses, which, by the way, are much more attractive than my blue glasses back in the day. These magical lenses help give me the clarity that I need to get through my day.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't wear glasses, but I am glued to my screen practically 23 out of 24 hours of the day, which I'm trying to get better at, but that's a whole other topic. But that can mean blurry vision, eye strain, headaches, all of that. But with my Felix Gray blue light glasses, there's only one thing I'm feeling, and that is relief.
Well, that is because their blue light lenses filter 15 times more blue light than other leading blue light lenses. Plus, they relieve symptoms of digital eye strain and support your visual well-being, which I didn't even know there was a such thing as visual eye strain, but got it. It makes sense. You know what I mean? And I don't know, who doesn't need more support on their eyes these days?
Yeah, exactly. Well, 5 years ago, Felix Gray set out to revolutionize eyewear by designing a lens that would actually improve the effects of daily screen time.
And since then, Felix Gray has been on a mission to create a better relationship with technology. And because of this, they've developed a world-class blue light blocking lens that diminishes the irritating side effects of blue light like tired eyes, headaches, and sleep disruptions.
So if you want 2022 to be the last time you ever suffer from the side effects of digital eye strain, then start the new year off on the right foot, or right eye, I guess, with Felix Gray.
Regardless, if you're looking for non-prescription or prescription glasses, Felix Gray has got you covered. And right now, Felix Gray is celebrating their 6th birthday. Yay! So from April 19th until April 24th, you can get 15% off everything with code BIRTHDAY15.
So just use the promo code BIRTHDAY15 at checkout for 15% off of everything. So check them out now, felixgrayglasses.com/say this. That's F-E-L-I-X-G-R-A-Y glasses.com/say this. Free shipping, free returns, and free exchanges. felixgrayglasses.com/say this. Okay, and we're back, and hopefully have taken ourselves in a different direction.
I doubt it.
Probably not.
I mean, maybe you have.
But. Right. So recently, Pixar released a new film that you may or may not have seen. I have seen like 42 minutes of it, and I love it. But it's called Turning Red, and it is the journey of a young girl, Mei Li, a 13-year-old who lives in Toronto, who turns into a giant red panda anytime she's overwhelmed by her emotions. And I mean, that's so relatable. I mean, not actually turning into a panda.
It's like, what?
Duh. Yeah, but like...
No, the emotional part.
The emotional part of it. I mean, there were so many times in the movie already where like she just goes, I don't know. And then she's crying. And I'm like, I get it. I too am a red panda several days out of the month. And... You know, in the coming of age film, the obvious cause of Mei Li's emotions or getting the best of her are symptoms of PMS. I mean, I have done it so many times where like I just snap and randomly become a crazy person.
Yeah,
we
too.
Talk about it on the podcast.
Mom
and
rage.
As a female positive podcast, we were really excited to see Pixar tackle a topic that's kind of ignored. How many times have we seen, you know, and I brought this up, the trope of, you know, the young boy shaving his face when there's nothing really there,
right?
Or, you know, we see the girls following like their moms in makeup and all this. We don't talk about what actually happens during puberty, which is a mess of emotions. You're crying all the time. You feel like a giant red monster. And you get your period. And she talked, you know, she brings out the pads and all that. And I know that was like, people freaked out about that. But I think it is brilliantly done. I'm enjoying it so much. I'm enjoying it as a mom. I'm enjoying it as a female who has gone through menstruation and what that means.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also establishing, it's so much more about not just puberty. And I think the point was missed. And there was an article, I think it was a Vox article that you sent us, Sabrina, that talked about it's not that different from Brave in a lot of ways.
No.
It's really about the establishing anonymity from your mother. Like, that is
autonomy, you mean?
Yes, thank you. Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, if in my case, actually,
anonymity.
It would be anonymity.
Right. Yes, yeah, exactly.
Get the gist of it. In my case, it would be, you know, going anonymous, but it is the autonomy and sort of cutting that cord and being able to stand up for yourself in a way where you're like what we talked about, you know, a couple weeks back, where it's like, I might be the mini version of you, but my experiences are different.
Right.
And how I want to handle things are different.
Right. Also, can I just say really quick, there's a moment in the movie where Mei Li's mom is talking about how could you do this? And then her husband picks up the phone and is like, your mom's on the phone. And she's like, I'm not here.
It's
so funny because she immediately becomes this little person. She curls up on a ball on the couch that never goes away. Like, as much as you're like, I'm my own person, and but mom is mom, you know? But I loved that little moment because I think so many of us can relate to it of like, oh God, no, I don't want to talk about it. Like, I know something's wrong and I don't want to, you know, and it's basically her mom calling to be like, I saw the red panda on the news or I saw, you know.
Right.
And that's the moment we all dread as mothers is our mom going, I saw what they posted or I saw this. And you're like, oh,
like when your mom, when you got mad at us, Janice, because we got tattoos like that moment.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't, you know, every time something like that happens, you're like, oh God, I don't want to.
Right. See, and that's why I do have anonymity from my mom.
Yes, exactly.
I can't handle it. The autonomy has moved to another level.
Right.
It's so cringeworthy in so many ways too, which I like loved because it is in the sense that not the movie itself, but like you can remember being that fucking teenage girl, preteen girl, and being like, oh,
when
God,
she, when her mom finds the journal,
yes, and goes and confronts,
and she's, but the hilarious part is when she's under the bed. Drawing the pictures, and she's like getting hot and sweaty, and like all these things are happening. And she's like, oh my God, oh my God. And she's like drawing these pictures, and then the mom finds it, and you're like, because it's that like burgeoning sexual expression where you're like, I don't know why I feel this, but like, oh my God, this boy band is like so amazing, and they make me feel funny feelings. And it,
right.
You know, and all of that that happens, and like going back to that and remembering that, and like the horror of your mom. Finding it or something, like
reading your diary, you may or may not have had sex and talking about it.
Yeah, finding a note from your friend on the kitchen table that, yeah, you know, things
little
like that
things,
that have happened.
Things, right. To other people, not us.
No, never, mm-hmm. never.
Yeah. I'm still a virgin, so.
Okay, fucking Mary. Like it relates to so many of those moments, and it's just so important, and which is why I heard about the backlash before I even watched the movie. And
yeah.
Film reviewer Sean O'Connell tweeted a link to his Cinema Blend review of Turning Red, which has since been deleted. But in it, he said a variety of derogatory things about the film, including some Pixar films are made for a universal audience. The target audience for this one feels very specific and very narrow. If you're in it, it might work well for you. I am not in it. This was exhausting.
As opposed to Monsters, Inc.
And without question, Turning Red is the horniest movie in Pixar history.
Unreal.
Sean O'Connell, I'm going on a limb here. I'm guessing he's a white male, which nothing against cisgender white male. You are a part of society too. But my friend, let me tell you this. It feels very specific and very narrow. There is about 51% of the population?
That's
aren't
right.
we the majority?
Yep.
Just checking on that. 51% of the population who probably at some point in their lives, regardless of their gender identity or whatever, go through fucking puberty and get a period.
Yeah.
I'm sorry that feels specific and narrow to you, but it's the majority.
Right. He also was sort of talking about the fact that, you know, an Asian family and they're Canadian. Well, and here's the other thing. And I thought about this when I read that. And then actually your boyfriend had something up on Instagram the other day.
He's my fiance.
Oh, right. Sorry. That's right. Sorry. And the ring. And there's the ring blinding me to fucking remind me. Right. He had something up and it was like, you know, if people aren't taking your rights away when they're fighting for the rights that you already have always had.
Right.
Like, and also, I'm sorry, Sean, and everybody else, and he wasn't the only one that came on that, you know, down on the movie like that, which was ridiculous. But like, really, like Monsters, Inc., you can relate to like monsters. That was cool. Like,
well, that was, I think somebody had this, it's great. Somebody said, the reason I love Monsters, Inc. is clear. I'm a monster who works in a monster factory.
Like, come on.
Right. I mean, Toy Story, obviously, I am a small spaceman.
Like,
I am Buzz Lightyear.
I don't understand. And also, it's like, you think this was a horny movie, but most other Disney movies, the older ones, all have to do with a guy kissing a girl in the
end. Unconscious.
Who's unconscious.
I don't, it's a whole. There's so many problems.
Yes. I just don't really get that other than, and it's funny that you said the cis white male thing, because there was a conversation happening in Mamas. Our friend Nico Juber posted in Mamas, she wrote, Turning Red is my new favorite Pixar movie. I loved everything about
it. It's great.
I knew that we were going to do the show. So I was like, please elaborate. And by the way, all the moms were like, yes, you know, and came in there. I said, I know that there's been controversy about it. And of course, Nico did say that, you know, she felt like the only people that probably had problems with it were cis white men. And she said, it completely captures the cringe of being a 13-year-old girl. Ugh. It's set in 2002 and it's like early cell phone and everyone's face is in a screen.
I love
there's
that.
There's a fake boy band that she's obsessed with and it's hilarious. The relationships between moms and daughters and getting a really amazing slice of life for the culture of the family. The story is so specific and that makes it beautifully universal. I laughed, I cried. It's incredibly relatable. Anyone who doesn't like it is probably a cis white guy who doesn't like not being the center of the story and not used to having to put themselves into someone else's shoes. Also, the red pandas are so cute. It's just perfect.
They really are. I love red pandas. To just say like, this was, I am not in it. This was exhausting. Thank you, sir, it's one of those moments where you're like, ah, yes.
Right.
Here they are in their natural habitat. the spouting their opinions and not liking things that aren't about them.
Yeah.
It is. I related to it so much. And as a mom, like, I related to it so much. Yes, it's about, like, puberty. Oh, my God. Like I said, the scene where she's under the bed sweating and drawing the, like, pictures of the shirtless boy. First of all, if you've never gotten weirdly, like, at 12 or 13, like, ooh, like that weird funny feeling you get where you're like, ooh, I'm a little tingly. And I don't know why, but this is really fun. And, like, I want to picture him without his shirt off and, like, we're holding hands. And, like, oh my God, this is so naughty.
My whole wall was Jack Wagner at about that age from General Hospital.
Come on. I know that there are times that I've walked in on my kids, like, thinking your beds, and they're like, hi, everything's fine. And you're like, okay.
Yep.
Okay.
The remote was missing.
And I try to not like react like the mom in this.
Right.
And I think it's a great example of like when you watch the mom, you go, oh yeah, that's all the things that like you shouldn't do, but you want to do because you want to just be like, how dare, this is my baby.
Right.
And at the same time, you're like, oh, but I didn't think it would happen. And I love when she's like, I thought I had more time.
Right. I asked my kids in the scene where the mom goes and like freaks out on the kid that she's drawing pictures of at the.
Oh my God. Yeah. You have lost a loyal cousin. I'm like,
because was like, oh my God. Oh my God. Perfect. Why is she doing that? And I was caught somewhere in between watching it and thinking about myself as the 13-year-old.
Right.
And a mom, you know, I'm being like, oh my God. And I turned to the girls and I just went, I don't do stuff like that, do I? Like, I don't, right? And they both were like, I mean, no, but also
sometimes.
Yeah. Right. You know, and I was like, oh, but not like that. I've never embarrassed. And Harper's like, Mom, you embarrass us weekly on a fucking podcast.
Right.
And I was like, oh, right, that.
Mr. O'Connell's antiquated, I don't quite get it because I'm not female, not Asian review quickly went viral and eventually was deleted. But of course, the upside of that is that Turning Red got put on a lot of people's radar. Really importantly, the film was directed by Dumi Shi, and it's her feature directorial debut. Yay, female directors. I'm all about that. And she co-wrote it with Julia Cho. So for all intents and purposes, this Pixar film about menstruation was built and created by women, like an overwhelming amount of art about the journey of men is made by men. This is the journey of women. However, men don't have periods, so it makes sense that Pixar's team was helmed by women. Can you imagine a period movie made by men?
I could, but it won't be anything what it should be.
Look, I'm sure there's been plenty already done. But fucking rad. Awesome. And she even said, Dumi disagreed with the review, obviously, and she said, you know, the film is a love letter to that time of our lives. It's a love letter to puberty. It's a love letter to Toronto. And also, can I just say, just coming back from being in Canada for like a month now, I was in Quebec, so it's a little bit different because everything is in French. Mm-hmm. But I'm watching this movie and I'm like, oh my God, I saw Tim Hortons and Timbits on the table for breakfast.
Right.
I was like, yep, that is fucking Canada right there. I have a deep love for Tim Hortons. Their coffee is way better than Starbucks. It's a Canadian way of life.
They are not sponsoring this podcast.
They're not sponsoring this podcast, but I'll tell you, I lived on Tim Hortons coffee and breakfast sandwiches because our catering was really terrible on our movie. Everyone agreed. It was kind of a running joke. And my amazing co-star, Tim Rosen, brought me Tim Hortons every morning. And so I appreciated that reference. And yeah, like, isn't every other, like, so many movies are set in New York City. But we're all supposed to fucking relate to that because it's American? Bullshit. Right.
This is another movie in a line of Disney movies recently that have pissed people off. Like, right, there's Luca, came under fire because they were like, he's gay. It's gay. This is a whole gay thing. Which even, first of all, if that was supposed to be the case, Disney still, you know, backed down on that, though.
Was it Disney or Pixar?
It was Disney.
Okay.
But props to Disney in general as a company, by the way, for standing up to Don't Say Gay, because
finally.
Fucking, yes, finally. Yeah,
well, finally they realized they had to shit or get off the
good,
pot.
Yes, so but thank God. Good. Keep going with that, please. And then in Encanto, people were pissy about the fact that they felt like there was a review about how it was a, you know, why was it about the relationship between a granddaughter and her grandmother? There was no love interest in the movie. There should have been a love interest in the movie because apparently that's all women are good for. We can be the love interest in the movie, but we can't be women who actually have cycles. What?
Like, right.
That makes fucking zero sense. Like, we have to be pure and puritanical still to this day.
Well,
and that wasn't what Encanto was about. It was about family fucking dynamics and feeling like you're the one in the family that doesn't fit in, speaking as the one in the family who never fit in, fuck you, that's real.
Also, like that's, these are all important stories to tell. I don't understand why people are so focused on that you have to tell one kind of story. These are all human experiences and obviously—
And different cultures.
Different cultures, and two Asian women wrote a story mm-hmm. that reflects their point of view, and why can't, if you don't relate to it, so fucking what?
Yeah, enjoy the story.
Enjoy the
least.
Story and go, oh, but again, like you said, it's, you know— Right, Nico. This is, I'm not in it. This right. was exhausting, Mr. Right. O'Connell, right. if you are so close-minded that you're not even willing to open up your mind and watch a movie about an experience of another person, that speaks volumes about you yep. and says nothing about the fact that the movie is brilliant.
And it,
maybe
it
it's
is.
So brilliant that you just aren't smart enough to get it, sir. Fucking tag that shit on Twitter. I mean, fine with it. Yeah. But like, really, if it's, I'm 41 minutes in and I relate to it so much as a woman, my fiance watched it and was like, this is such a cute movie. He's a like 50-year-old white male. And he's like, this was so great.
I think he's
great.
Older than that, but that's okay.
I know, I'm trying to be nice. He loved it. He yeah. was like, this is such a great movie. The girls should watch it. I'm sure they would relate. That's what it should be. Is right. It should be like, oh, what an experience. Oh man, like I haven't had to go through that. This is important.
Right. Learn something.
Oh my God.
And again, learn you something about family dynamics, this movie again, because it's not just the relationship between, like you said, you know, it's not just between the mother and the daughter. The grandmother is also
the
there.
The grandmother's in it and the mom's relationship.
And the
relationship
mom's
with
relationship
her.
With her, which I thought a lot about and my mom's relationship with her mom and yeah. my relationship with her mom. And then yeah. how that filtered down into her relationship with us.
Absolutely.
It was
when,
a big
when me
deal.
And my mom or the girls are together, my fiance is always like, the family dynamics are so interesting to watch, and you're in it and you know it and you're like, oh man, this is, I'm so in it right now, and everyone relates to that, like yeah. everyone relates to the challenges of family dynamics and also the wonderful blessings that come with family dynamics and like the tradition and the heritage and the things that get passed on. Like this, his review is exhausting. I can't believe in 2022 someone's like, I don't relate to it. This is exhausting.
Well, I think there was also, and again, it wasn't just him. We are calling him out because he was
right,
the
right,
one
right.
that got called
right.
out.
And he said, he took it back. He said the backlash was intense. The review was removed, and the author, Sean O'Connell, released an apology saying, I'm genuinely sorry for my turning red review. Thank you to everyone who has reached out with criticism, no matter how harsh. It is clear that I didn't engage nearly enough with the movie, nor did I explain my point of view well at all. I really appreciate your feedback. And that's fine. Oh, whatever, dude. In the end, I mean, that's, I just, whatever, dude. Like, I'm, it's cool.
We should say dudes, probably. But there were some women that were pissy.
But there were some women there as well. Mm-hmm. And in the end, we are left with a quote by the great Roger Ebert. Thank you, sir. To help people understand not only the importance of diversity in character, but in subject matter. If it's a great movie, it lets you understand a little bit more about what it's like to be a different gender, a different race, a different age, a different economic class, a different nationality, yeah. a different profession, different hopes, aspirations, dreams, and fears. Fuck yeah, Roger Ebert.
Yeah.
That's, I never thought I'd say that, but right. like, thank you. That's what it is. That's what art is. That's what movies are. And that's, you know, and the discussion of it. There was a tweet, Liam Marilla or Maria Thomas, I'm not sure how to pronounce it. Please forgive me. Said, I have been asked to relate to so many orphan boys in my life. How did I, a girl living with parents, ever manage?
Yeah. I like this one. Who among us doesn't relate to being a Parisian chef in training, being controlled by a rat? Tale as old as time. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp Online Therapy.
I know I'm not alone when I say stress shows up in all kinds of ways. And in a world that's telling you to do more and sleep less and grind all the time, here is your reminder to take care of yourself, do less, and maybe try some therapy.
Truly, people don't always realize that physical symptoms like headaches, teeth grinding, and even digestive issues can be indicators of stress. And let's not forget about doom scrolling, sleeping too little, sleeping too much, undereating, and overeating.
Okay, I feel like this is really directed at me.
you and me both.
Even though many of us will drop anything to help someone we care about, women often go out of our way to treat other people well. But how often do we show ourselves the same treatment?
I don't. That's the problem a lot of the time. And you call me out on it. But you know what? So does my therapist. And that's why people need therapy.
Absolutely. Self-care, you know, is not always massages and mani-pedis. It's taking care of your mental health. It's knowing when to take a break. It's knowing when to say no. It's having boundaries. It's all those kinds of things. And you learn those in therapy and coaching with things like BetterHelp. So if this really resonates with you, then you need to know about BetterHelp. BetterHelp online therapy is a fantastic way to show yourself the same love and attention you show everyone else.
And that's because therapy is one of the best ways to show up for yourself and perform self-care. I love BetterHelp because it's really easy to access. You get matched with your own personal therapist. You don't have to stay in an awkward waiting room or anything like that. And plus, they provide financial aid, which is like, you know, pretty unheard of.
Yeah, that financial aid for therapy is super important. And I love that BetterHelp offers that. So BetterHelp is online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist. So you don't have to see anyone on camera if you really don't want to.
Not only that, like I said, it's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can be matched with a therapist in under 48 hours.
So give it a try and see why over 2 million people have used BetterHelp online therapy.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and never thought I'd say this. Listeners get 10% off of their first month at betterhelp.com/say this. That's BETTERHELP.com/say this. You know, I read a lot about this movie, and I went to different sites.
What are some of the critiques of it by women or by other people? I would like to know the other side.
There was some very thinly veiled.
Little dog whistles of racism there.
Yeah, xenophobia for sure. I think that because it was an Asian family, obviously with Asian hate crimes being up so high, there was a lot of people when I went down the opposite side in like the Fox News era of it, because I really was like, what is the problem with this?
Right.
Mess.
Did Tucker Carlson's bow tie have to say about turning red?
Probably that it was inappropriate. I can't even, so I won't, you know. But I did see some women just talking about the fact, like, it was, again, like, it's unrelatable. And whatever happened to wholesome family connections, there was a lot of that. I always got along so great with my mother and my grandmother. These people need to find Jesus. There was a lot of that. And I was like, this is insanity. But that also happened with Encanto. I'm half Hispanic. And so like watching people go after a culture that nobody knows enough about, like you are very integrated in, you know, in Hispanic culture. Right. There are different generations that are together all the time. And it was like, just because this isn't how you do it doesn't mean that's not,
also,
it's not wrong.
Also, I'm pretty sure that in the global population statistics, those of Asian descent are the majority.
That didn't help the fight, though.
I know, but I don't understand how people don't get this when they're like, this isn't about me. And you're like, yeah, but guess what? Like 8 billion other fucking people in the world are having an experience as a person of Asian descent. So fuck off and watch the movie.
Right. You know what I mean? But again, because I think, you know, Asian hate crimes have been up and there is such xenophobia that's acceptable now. It's so sad to me that people can't just sit back and take in another culture. And again, especially when you're somebody who was raised as a minority. Listen, we don't celebrate Christmas. Like, obviously, when I grew up in Westport, Connecticut, I was one of 3 fucking Jewish families there. Right. And nobody understood anything about it. I had to take a backseat to everybody else's culture all the fucking time. Right. And I learned about it. And
Red Cup
exactly.
Started. Like, how dare they? They're stealing Christmas. Hey, guess what? A lot of the world doesn't fucking celebrate Christmas. That's okay.
Yeah, and all kinds of things, right? Like being told to stand up as a kid and pledge allegiance, even where I have to say God, and that's not something you say as a Jew.
You don't say
the word God.
Right.
Or watching, you know, one of the other Jewish kids in my school who was Israeli, they would make him take off his hat at school because that is, you know, a disrespectful thing to have a hat on in American
Christian
culture.
Right. Well, and that Christian thing, you take your hat off as a sign of respect.
Right.
But in Judaism, you always have a head covering because it protects you from the awesomeness of God.
It's to make sure that you understand there is a level difference between you and God.
Right.
That's what it is. And for women, they wear head coverings to protect themselves from men, if I'm being honest. But
that's a whole other thing.
But regardless, like people of other cultures in this country have had to, adapt and learn about the, and I had no problem with it. I'm sure I've probably told you this story, but one time when I lived in upstate New York, when I first started working for, in the county.
Right.
I was the only Jew in the office. I was an office of like 35 people.
Right, right.
I was the only Jew there, and they had a Christmas party, and they called it a Christmas party, you know, which, right. Listen, I grew up here. I'm used to a fucking Christmas party.
Right.
They throw out the whole email about the Christmas party.
Right.
And then they come in after it goes out and says, and they say to me, you know, we just wanted to let you know, like, you don't have to come to the Christmas party. We're really sorry we called it a Christmas party. Next year, we'll call it a holiday party. And if you're not comfortable coming to, you know, Christmas party, you don't have to come.
Okay, but
right.
That they're
fair,
trying.
Right.
I mean, look, sometimes people trying to be inclusive or they struggle
weird,
with how to do
fine.
It. But,
and I said, no, I'm fine. I get it. Right. I've been to Christmas my whole life. I'm good. And they were like, okay. Then they went and told a girl who used to dress up as Santa every year.
I thought you were going to say she used to dress up as Jesus every year, because that does make the holiday party rather uncomfortable.
Right. But
well, it'd be baby Jesus, though.
To be fair,
a little swaddled.
I don't think... if she actually would have made a pretty good Jesus. She used to dress up like Santa Claus. I think more than not, everyone wanted her to stop doing that anyway. She wasn't the most popular person in the office. They told her that she couldn't do that anymore because it might be offensive to me. I didn't know this.
What?
And so then we have the Christmas party.
And this bitch is like, yep, I can't be Santa because of you.
She was like, I used to, you know, just so you know, before you came here, I always dressed up like Santa. But because you're here and you're not Christian, I'm not allowed to do that anymore.
Because Santa is Christian? What the fuck?
I was like, okay.
I mean, I know it has to do with the Christian holiday, but Santa is, I've known Jewish people that have had Santa come and they leave presents. Like, come on.
Yeah.
It's a fucking Santa Claus.
Yeah,
people.
I was like, that's so weird because I totally was going to come as Moses. And then they told me I couldn't because of you. So like, I didn't. Well, now we know.
Right.
You know, and
you'd make a great
like,
Moses.
Are you serious? And I was like, no, I'm not serious. Like, Jesus Christ.
You should have been like, I'm dead ass serious.
I'm going to part the
dead
Red Sea later.
Ass. Serious.
Was,
I brought my fucking tablets and everything, but apparently not good enough for you.
Yeah.
Right.
Screw you, Santa. It was a whole thing. Anyway.
I will say, just speaking of the whole Santa and Jesus thing, I will say that my mom, as a child, we had one of those decorations where Santa's kneeling in front of the baby Jesus. Mm-hmm. Now, my parents are not religious at all and that's not a thing. Now, it's one of my favorite Christmas decorations just for the sheer ridiculousness of it. That I definitely want passed down to me because I just think it's great.
That's the most absurd thing I've
ever
heard.
It is. It's fun. But you know what, though? In like the 80s and stuff, like that was like a big thing.
Sure.
Like the Jesus with his hat off kneeling the baby Jesus.
Do you know that when my sister was little?
No, and again, no disrespect to baby Jesus or Santa.
Well,
we're all inclusive here.
Or adult Jesus.
He's cool too.
Jews like Jesus. He was a Jew. There's that.
I'm fine with all of it.
My sister wanted to be a Jewish Christmas tree when she was younger because she wanted to fit in so bad. And she used to tie string around her glass animals. Remember when we used to like collect glass animals?
No, I don't remember that.
Oh, you didn't have glass animals? That was like a big thing in the early, Sabrina's nodding. It was like a big thing in the 80s growing up. Anyway, she would tie like little like dental floss and like, you know, and she would walk around the house like with them hanging off of her fingers. And just like stop. I'd be like, what the fuck are you doing? She's like, I'm going to be a Jewish Christmas tree when I grow up. Yeah. Before that, she wanted to be a bird, split her chin open a bunch of times.
Well.
Yeah. She was special. Anyhow.
Back to turning red. I know a lot of our listeners probably have differing opinions. Maybe some of them do, which I would be interested to hear if anyone out there that's listening had an adverse reaction or opinion to turning red, if they've made it this far in the podcast and haven't turned it off by now. I would be interested to hear it. But I think...
Well, and what kind of conversations did it spark, you know, in your family? I mean, that
was...
The mamas really got into that, like just having... And even I realized my conversation was fucking ridiculous with my kids. Although, thank God. Oh, and of course I had to say to Lulu, I said, have you by any chance said to anyone else that kids will be jerking off? And she was like, I mean, only, and the name's like four kids. And I was like, great. So
but
I had to write.
Didn't, but,
no, her teacher knew. I actually had to like write because I like checked in that day. I was like, so this might be nothing, but like just so you know. And she wrote back. She said, that's funny. I was going to send you an email later.
Right. I'd be like, we should clarify this.
I heard her saying it. I was like, oh, great. great. I said, well, I fixed it. But listen, thank God. How would I have even known that was happening had we not had this conversation that right? she's walking around telling people not to jerk off in the playground because she wants to have, you know, extra Jello later. I don't know what, you know what I mean? Like,
I'm not sure how the Jello was related, but I completely understand.
When they all get along outside and they play, they get like rewards for their class and like they'll get like a little party or whatever. But a lot of the time, if like some kids are being jerks, not jerking off, goofing off, the whole class gets punished and they don't get like the whatever.
Right. Oh, yeah, right. But the ostracization.
Right, so she could, for all I know, Lulu would have like stood up in, you know, the playground and started yelling,
stop jerking off.
Like, thank God that didn't happen.
I feel like when you have to stand up and yell that at a playground, things have gone really, really bad. Then you have to call the police.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm really excited to watch the end of Turning Red, talk to my girls about it, see if they've seen it, maybe at their dad's house. I have a feeling maybe not Zoe. I don't know. But I want to watch it. I want to have some discussions with my kids. I want them to watch it. I keep watching it and I'm like, oh, I feel like B would really relate to this right now. Because we have you know, we're in it. There's a lot of the...
Yeah.
All of a sudden emotions where, and I'm like, oh, fuck, we're here. You know, where it's just like, I don't even know why I'm crying. Just leave me alone. And you're like, oh, okay.
Yep.
And that moment when you go, oh, is this what I look like when I'm like having a freak out about a fucking napkin or something in my PMS mode? And like, this is it. I'm the red panda.
Right.
But I'm now, like I said, I'm going to take on the red panda and be like, I am a fluffy little red panda and I need your love and I need someone to hug me right now and I need you to feed me.
Well, I've really used it as a way to remind myself that I can't be as involved in their lives as I want to be. And they have to figure stuff out on their own.
Figure shit out on their
own.
That,
and again, I know we've talked about this, like not to take things personally when they are separating from me.
It's super important. You know, and it's interesting because I see a lot of it. And I see, you know, I see parents that have problems separating from their kids. You know, it's kind of sad. Like you just kind of want to go like, hey, let them have a life outside of you. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's okay. And it's actually really important because you don't want them to be like dependent and not know how to walk through adversity or uncomfortable things. Like,
well, and the more you lean back, I mean, obviously we're not saying don't know what's going on in your kid's life.
Right.
No, but the more that you lean back and let them come to you, the better. I've been looking at it a lot like a rubber band, right? If you're constantly leaning into your kid, leaning into the slack, it's just going to fall apart, right? But if you both sort of do this, and there's like a healthy amount of distance, but also like togetherness. That's better. I want them to talk to me.
I like that.
Thank you.
Rubber band. Each of you at a different end. It's true. There should be a little tension.
Right.
There should be enough, but it holds you together and it keeps you connected because they still need you. And, you know, every parenting book, Untangled and, you know, all of the books that I've read, they all talk about this. It's like when they did it as toddlers, but it's just that much harder and scarier because they're doing it in a much bigger world and in a much bigger way that can have serious consequences.
Yeah.
But like at the same time, watching these kids in Turning Red and the four little girls who are obsessed with the boy band. And I love that there's a word, one of them, she falls down. She goes, crap. Like, yeah. And I noticed a couple little things. They snuck in there and I'm like, yes, because kids are, it's the testing of the waters of like saying stuff like that. Or, you know, they fall down, they go, ah, shit. You know, whatever it is, like, I love that those things were included. And I love that they included, you know, he says this is the horniest Pixar movie ever. It's a tale about puberty when all of a sudden those feelings start happening. And fuck you if you think that they don't.
For girls.
Right.
Nobody got pissy at Aladdin who sees Jasmine and is like, ooh. Like, he's a teenager also and is pursuing a girl. And that you didn't call him horny. And he probably was. Like, what the hell?
Aladdin for sure had a boner on the Magic Carpet, right? That's all I'm saying. Aladdin.
She was showing stuff and it was fine because she was a princess, so that's okay. Like, I don't understand. And that was criticism. Like, they talked about the boy band thing, exactly that. That came up a lot. I only saw men talking about it, that they were like, oh my God, like, what? I need to think about girls, like looking at singers and being turned on. Hi.
Yeah.
Yeah. Elvis.
Yeah.
That's why that was a controversy. Do you know how long ago we left that behind?
Right.
Well, fuck we haven't. You. Apparently we haven't. Like, I don't get it.
I don't get it. Somebody said, you know, writing about art requires empathy. And it does. art requires empathy. Art requires us to go outside of ourselves and to experience something else. And that is literally the point of art and creating, is to share your experience and your feelings with other people in a creative way and hopefully have them understand it more. So anyway, I would love to hear other people's reactions to Turning Red and see, you know, what our audience thought of it.
I also brought Encanto into this. If you, you know, had some sort of reaction to that, because I know that was another one that brought up controversy, please let us know that as well, because I thought that was interesting.
People are pissed off because there's an internet in which they can voice about being pissed off.
Have you seen Encanto?
I don't think I have.
Okay. If you should see that as well.
Is Encanto the one about the young Colombian girl?
It's about a family that all of them have special gifts, minus one of them.
Okay,
and so she kind of like stands out. And that's where, you know, and Lin-Manuel,
right.
Yeah, he wrote a lot of the, I think all of the music actually.
Okay.
At least most of it. And
I will have to check that
one out. It's really, really, it's great. It's another good one to watch with your kids. Because if you feel like you're the one that's left out or you're different.
Got it.
That's the movie.
I'm going to also tell you, I know I've told you. I've told Sabrina. I literally have told everyone that I've met since I saw this movie.
Oh, I know.
You have to fucking see it.
I'm seeing it. I'm on Wednesday.
Okay.
We have tickets.
Everything, Everywhere, All at Once.
Oh, yeah. Tickets.
It's fucking incredible. I have not laughed in a movie like that in a long time.
Is it Michelle? Like, is it Michelle Yao?
Michelle Yao. Yeah. I haven't laughed that hard and I haven't cried like that in a movie. The emotional journey that I went on was incredible, and it is at its core very much about a mother-daughter relationship, and it's absolutely fucking beautiful. It is now one of my favorite movies. I want to go see it again.
I'm so excited.
It's also like multiverse and kind of sci-fi and weird, and I love that shit too. But anyway, instead of a game this week, I would like everyone to kind of consider that quote by Mr. O'Connell about something feeling very specific and very narrow. What it means to consume art that doesn't reflect the story that you tell yourself. What does it mean to take in art? I enjoy, like I said, taking in art that makes me uncomfortable. I like taking in art that challenges how I think, challenges how I think about other people. And then consider the importance of exposing your children to art and stories that can open the world to them. I think we're all seeing right now the damage that only sharing one perspective has taken on so much of the world. The world is a wonderfully colorful,
diverse,
interesting, and often painful place.
Yeah.
And I think that we need to share, you know, and expose our children to art and stories that open the world to them. Because, I think that you'll be really surprised in the ways that you and your children can grow through this experience. And I think growing with our children is really important. There's not an age that you get to, and there's certainly, I think, the myth of becoming a parent and suddenly you have it all together and now you pass on all of that useful knowledge to your children is a lie.
It's a lie.
And even already I can see it in Turning Red in the half of the movie that I've watched where the mom is like, oh shit, I thought I had more time. I thought, that regret of like, oh my God, I did it. I wish I had done it differently.
Yeah.
Or that's not what I meant to do. And I think we need to reflect on that. That is just important for us to grow with our children as to teach our children how to grow themselves.
Well, and I love that, first of all. And also, the more you learn and the more you evolve and you check your own biases, the more you'll teach that to your kids. Lead by example.
And also share it with your kids.
Yes.
I can't tell you how many times I have shared some of the fuck ups of my youth, not like in detail, but some of the, and they ask me about it. They're like, what did you feel like when this happened? What about this? And I'll be like, oh, here's the deal. And I will share things very openly and honestly with them.
Same.
Because I don't want them to have this mythology that I've never felt the kind of pain and uncomfortableness that they're going through.
Yeah.
And that I haven't been in situations that were really hard and made it through.
Yeah.
I think it's important for our kids to know that. It's important for our kids to see that we experienced pain and growing and awful stuff too. And came through the other side of it, and here's how we dealt with it, and here's some of the shitty ways I dealt with it.
Right.
That didn't work out very well, and you may have to go through some of those too.
Right.
And again, that's okay.
Check your biases. Let them know you've had them and that you were wrong and you learned more and then you moved forward.
Right.
And actually, on that note and all of this, I'm going to two things housekeeping wise, one of which relates to what we're talking about. If nobody has checked out, my yoga teacher, Jenny, told us to do it. It was our homework in yoga, was watch out for the big girls. which Lizzo's new.
Yeah.
So Lizzo's show, her reality show of auditioning her big girl dancers.
Yes.
It's amazing. I had to check biases. And today, my friend Leslie in class, we were all talking about it. And Leslie was a dancer. And she said, I am a judgmental bitch. I grew up as a dancer who was always taught that you have to look a certain way to be acceptable. You have to dance a certain way.
Growing up dancing, I had so many friends that dropped out of dance once they hit puberty because their body changed,
right.
Because they got boobs, because they got this. And they were like, I'm no longer the ideal, so I'm going to give this up.
Yeah, and she talked about how the first episode was wildly uncomfortable for her. She almost couldn't watch it because she was like, they're not pretty. They don't look like what dancers should look like. But she kept going, right. And she was crying when she was telling us. Yeah. She was like, I can't believe how judgmental I've been, how I never saw people for who they really were. I would just look at them, their body type, in a way that I was supposed to.
Well, and
I thought supposed to,
in quotes. We've talked about it before, like human beings do that. It's a natural thing.
Sure.
Watch things like that that make you challenge yourself, that make you a little uncomfortable, make you go, oh shit, you know what?
That's me. Right, I do that.
And now I have a different experience.
Right.
Like I said, art should challenge you. It should make you think differently. Watch things that you normally wouldn't watch. Watch foreign language films.
Yeah.
You know, all that kind of stuff. And Turning Red is just such a great example of females telling stories that we can relate to and that women can understand. You know what? We get to have stories too.
We do.
We get to have stories too. And so I think that's really an important message here with Turning Red. And I hope you guys will see it. I also hope you guys will see Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Yep. And Encanto, if you haven't.
We have movie recommendations today. That's all right.
I've gotten so many PMs on my personal site, but also on Never. People keep, because we keep posting these, and people keep asking about my rings and who they're from. I like swore to a bunch of people and I keep forgetting that I would tell you. And it's, I'm going to butcher the last name, but it's the company and person is German Grabisky. I'll post it. But if you guys were wondering, these are them. These are my rings.
They're really awesome.
And they're almost all Germans' rings. And I've been obsessed, and he creates beautiful pieces, but that's who they are. So I know I'd said this like months ago. I was like, oh, I'll say. Yeah.
And she's going to post that and write it, because I have no idea what the fucking last name is either.
I'm sure I did not say it right.
But I'm pretty sure of our name on the internet, which is at Never Thought I'd Say This. If you guys want to find us on socials, you can find me at Jody Sweeten across socials. You are
the Celia Behar. You can email us at neverthoughtid@protonmail.com. And that is also our Twitter is Never Thought I'd.
Yes. And please let us know your reactions to Seeing Red, your reactions to this podcast, to Encanto, and to everything else.
You know, rings,
because like I
said,
the internet is a place where you get to have opinions and everyone reads them for better or for fucking worse. So in the meantime, you guys, thank you so much for tuning in. We really appreciate our fans. We love you guys. And remember, keep killing the parenting game.
And not your kids. And don't jerk off.
No, you should. Do it all the time. Just not around
class.
Not in class. Not in class.
Yeah,
no. Inappropriate.
Yeah, appropriate.
Never Thought I'd Say This with Jody Sweeten and Celia Behar is an Audioboom original.